What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm the Fan.
And the ball game's over. And the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls on the Yankees. We'll work in the Mets at some point as well. 888-808-1019. I was out at Citi Field to go over my experience with that a little bit later on. Also, we have a couple of special things here, BT. We'll have Dave Portnoy on a little bit later on, 1:20. Talk to Portnoy, El Presidente. So we'll talk to him later at 1:20. And remember yesterday I was talking about possibly calling my wife and seeing what was going on with the couple's fantasy and her level of interest?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we made that call happen. Hoff and I recorded it. She had no idea that she was on the air. We did that yesterday. I didn't want to do it live on the air because, you know, I didn't want her to. You just don't know how it's going to work.
You don't want to get divorced.
So we'll play that later. All right. The NFL begins tonight. What is your level of interest? Chiefs, Ravens. And then tomorrow, you got the Packers and Eagles in Brazil.
I mean, listen. I'm pumped. I'm absolutely excited for the season, and most of that is fueled by the Jets, who have a chance to do something here. But I love these other games, too. I think tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. I think Jordan Love's going to be amazing. I'm interested to watch Saquon as an Eagle. Tonight, obviously, Ravens and Kansas City, two teams that could represent the AFC or get to the championship or knock the Jets out or be in the Jets' way. Like, I love football, but I got to tell you something. I got to tell you, my life has been made easier since I made an adjustment to how I gamble.
Okay.
There was a point, now never where it was an issue. I'm very clear about that.
All right.
I never gambled anything I didn't have, or I just didn't roll that way. I've always been responsible, right? But I felt the need to bet a lot of games. And it was getting to the point where, and I'm talking about games I'm not even watching.
Yeah, well, that's just
like when you wake up and yeah, you know, the first thing you do is you fire up the laptop on a Saturday morning. I mean, you should really be looking at the point spreads early week to really get a good jump on it. But whatever, with kids, that doesn't always happen. And you wake up, you're like, all right, the Big Ten starts at noon. And you got, like, the MAC games, like Akron and Toledo. You just start betting on things you don't even know. You don't do a modicum of research. And it consumes you. And really, there was a lot of NFL games, particularly some of those Thursday games, that I was just betting to get some interest. Because it was boring. So now I stopped that last year. And it has made my football life much more rewarding and less pressurized.
Enjoying just the game like tonight?
Yes.
Are you going to bet the Steelers?
I might put a little something on the Ravens-Kansas City game.
Like
a little something maybe over-under, sprinkle something in. But that's a game I'm watching no matter what. Like if you're talking about like, say, I know the Jaguars have talent, of course, Trevor Lawrence, ETN, they've got a good team. But like a couple of years ago, say if it was like Trevor Lawrence's rookie year versus, I don't know,
the Titans, like an AFC South battle.
You don't have very many, you know, stakes in the fire or whatever, logs on the fire with fantasy because teams stink. And, you know, ain't really nothing else to do. So, all right, let me put $100 or $150 on this. You just flush money down the chute.
I think so much of the interest in the NFL today, especially from younger kids, and that's how they become fans of teams because of their fantasy team or because of bets now. That's the majority.
Totally.
And I think that there are a lot. Now, I know we're in New York and we have two teams and obviously diehard, passionate fan bases with both the Jets and the Giants, and that's where we focus. But so many football fans, especially the younger, are not localized football fans. It's about watching the Red Zone. It's about watching the Sunday Ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Even myself, I like watching multiple games on Sunday. I want the screen up, split into four minimum, and I have the action on just so I can follow what's going on.
See, I don't like watching. You and I have talked about that. I'm different.
Yeah.
I got to lock in Jets. Obviously Jets. Lock in Giants. And commercial, I go to Red Zone. And I'm always recording on the Jets with the Giants.
Right.
So if I miss a few snaps, I just rewind it. and I zoom through the 30 seconds of non-action. The other thing I've done, you know, of course, you got to go get the sandwiches. I always talk about the roast beef and the mozzarella and then the oil and vinegar chips and a little orange soda and a couple of rice bowls. Like I just gouge, right? Yeah. Gavone on game day. But what I'd like to do now, and it's awesome, I might not put the game on until 1:15 or 1:12.
You can watch on your own.
I got like 10, 12 minutes of built-in, you know, flow-through time where I'm not sitting there watching 30 seconds of nothing.
I cannot do that. I'm like, if I'm not in front of the TV with the games loaded up, all the games on the different channels and all that, by 1 o'clock, it's a problem. Like, I can't watch it on a delay and not know. Now, I do, you know, obviously doing what we do, you have to pay more attention to both the Jets and the Giants, so it's harder to watch six games at a time. This year I'm going to do four. But again, you have to focus on the Giants. If you're watching four games, you're not really watching the one game. But that's the way that I think a lot of people consume football now. And me in particular, I like that. Which is also why I love the standalone games like tonight. But my level of interest in tonight, and I don't have a bet on it now. I haven't really thought much about where I would pick. It's the first game of the season. And I'm not putting too much stock in it. I know it's the Chiefs and the Ravens, which is a big battle. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes is going to be fun to watch. But, like, it doesn't matter who wins this game or not. We don't know what these teams are going to be till 4 or 5 weeks in.
Probably more.
It matters in the standings to a certain extent, long, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
But like...
I agree with you.
Like, okay, so what if Mahomes throws three picks tonight? What if Lamar Jackson, you know, fumbles the football? Whatever it may be, does that mean anything?
I think you're hitting on something interesting, because one of the great things, aside from betting, is that it's a great sport to bet on. It's fun, and it's once a week, so you don't get tired of it. And the tailgates and all the other thing that comes with football, the jerseys, just the traditions, is that every game felt so massive. And now, what Sal's saying... And we've seen this with less emphasis during the summer, the exhibition, the preseason games. The first couple of games are now almost glorified preseason games where if you lose, I got an ample time to recover. It's not the biggest deal. And it does take away a little bit of the urgency in the theater for week one, because you know that you can recover big time.
Yeah, which is wild for me. So it's not this sense of urgency. It's more just like, oh, yeah, I'll watch it. Not because I think it's a big game and it's important, just because it's on. And you throw some action down, whatever it may be. I'm more intrigued, actually, by tomorrow night's game between the Packers and Eagles, because I don't believe the Eagles are going to be, not only the NFC East tie-in with the Giants, but I don't believe the Eagles are going to be as good as everybody else says. And I do think the Packers are going to be good. So I will bet the Packers tomorrow night. Now, did you know that game is on Peacock tomorrow?
I just found out from Jerry. I didn't even know that.
So you have Peacock, I'm assuming?
I don't know if we do. We have everything. I might go to the bar and watch it.
I cut it down, so I'm going to have to re-up it and then cancel it again. Pain in the neck.
That's the other pain in the ass. Yeah, with this stuff.
I know. It's all over the place. I just, and then there's a Friday night game. Like, you know, Friday night, long work week. You want to go home, spend some time with the wife and kids.
Yeah. But don't you, do you?
I do, actually. I mean, I haven't seen my daughter.
Checking.
Well, my wife, my daughter, yes.
You always got to separate between the two. I hear you. I'm looking forward to
hearing
that.
Just kidding, honey. I can't wait to see
I want to hear that phone call, too. We'll play that later with Sal's wife. Right. Oh, my God. You know, it's funny, though. I was thinking about something you said, like, and I know it's changed quite a bit. I remember running home from church, mass in where I grew up in Brooklyn. My parents are still there. It used to start at 12:30, right?
Yeah.
So I'd go with my mom and my sister. My dad would only go on like Christmas Eve and Easter, whatever. And I remember just being like 7, 8, 9 years old. How come daddy doesn't have to come to church? Well, daddy's watching football. That's what daddy's doing. Right. He's locked up in the basement. He's got a few bucks on the games. And daddy's being daddy. Now I understand that. I didn't back then. So I'd protest. I wouldn't want to go to church. I'd want to watch the games because I would miss the first. Back then, it was like an hour and 15 minute mass. I would miss the first quarter of the Jets or the Giants playing at 1 o'clock. And it would bother me. So I'd wear my Jets jersey to church, my Gastineau jersey. I'd run home because it was around the quarter, half a quarter in, watch the games. And back then, there were a couple of the Dolphin kids in the neighborhood, but everybody was a Giants, mostly Giants, a couple of us Jet fans. I do think it's changed based on what you just said about the fantasy element, the gambling, kids now react. I want 5 jerseys from Santa. It's part of the wardrobe.
Yeah.
Okay. But where I live, and I don't know, I still think the suburbs, and I'm in Essex County. It's Jets and Giants territory, man. I see the kids at school. I see what they wear, whether it's the baseball practice, the Yankees and the Mets gear, or even during the winter with the Knicks, even some Nets gear. Like, I feel like we say that it's changed a lot, and not just with my son, who you know is all into the Jets and the locals.
Right.
A lot of his buddies, they got their teams. Like, it's Giants, it's Jets, it's Yankees, it's Mets, it's Knicks. That's it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
no,
I'm starting
I don't
get that. I'm going to start pushing back on that thought.
I don't get that feel at all.
I do.
I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. Obviously, it does happen, but I think, and by the way, there's always been, dating back to the 70s.
Steelers.
Vikings, Cowboys. Steelers.
Like, look at Gio. Gio's got a Vikings guy.
Well, and for me, I was grew up a Falcon fan. Initially, I liked the Giants, then I liked the Jets with Parcells, but I was always a Falcon fan for whatever reason. So with the NFL, I've got buddies that are Dolphins fans all over the place. We hear from them here. You know, on the,
sure.
People call Raiders fans, whatever it may be. So that's always been a thing. But I do think now, like I told you, I did that podcast with Francesca's kids, Jack and Harrison.
Yeah.
Jack is a Falcons fan.
You said that. What
and
about
Harrison?
Harrison
is a Chiefs fan. And I go, how the hell are you a Chiefs fan? Because Jamal Charles... years ago.
Yeah, good running back. He was awesome.
For his fantasy team.
Yeah.
Won him whatever his fantasy team.
He was good
team.
For a couple years.
Yeah, but like, think of how that fandom starts. It's just bizarre how that happens. I really do think. I think one of Moose's kids is an Eagles fan.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I just, and again, I'm not just using those specific kids as an example, but I think now younger fans tend to go with fantasy or different things where it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like that with other sports.
Yeah.
But with football, it does.
Yeah. Well, I think with the other sports, too. You think about Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors influence. I mean,
you think teams, though, are like.
The Knicks were down for so long. So how many young men and women right now who are in their early 20s, right? Whether they're just finishing college, just going to college, during their formative years, the Knicks were terrible.
Right.
You don't think they latched onto the Warriors or the Celtics or whatever,
maybe.
The Spurs with Popovich and Duncan.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe basketball.
I think they did.
You think it happens with baseball at all?
I think baseball is very regional.
Or hockey?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No
right.
way.
So hockey.
No chance.
Right. Okay, so then.
That gets passed down from dad.
Yeah, definitely football and maybe baseball. Before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, will you bet the game tonight?
Yeah. That's all. I was sprinkle a little something on the over. Nothing nuts.
Okay. That's you're going to do the over tonight?
It's a little something. I mean, and my theory on the over is it's early, it's sloppy. When it's early and sloppy, maybe some more penalties, maybe some more broken plays. I mean, maybe a 50-yard gash that doesn't happen in 5 weeks because there's a breakdown on the third level because they're rusty. I don't know if it's going to work.
Right.
I mean, I could probably tell you this. At the end of the gambling season, I'll be down rather than up.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. It's part of the torture, which is why I really haven't done it as much as I used to. It's not like when you start a season and just say Thursday night, just say you take a side and a total, you bang a parlay, boom, you're up. Everybody's number is different. Let's say you're up $400 to start the season. You're like, all right, 400. You start getting a little crispy, banging a few Big Ten games, a couple of, you know, team's laying 49.5 points against Toledo. They cover. Suddenly you look up, you're up $700-$800. Now you can roll the rest of the year, and it's fun. Conversely, say if you lose that reverse tonight, and you're in the hole 390, 440 with the juice.
It ruins the whole
day. Now you start betting with trepidation. You start overthinking things, and it sucks.
Yeah, you're angry. You're on edge. Yes. You're yelling at your wife. Well, you're annoyed with the dog. I mean, I'm just assuming. I don't know that I've ever experienced this firsthand. Bill is calling from Norwalk, Connecticut. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's up, Colin, guys?
What's up, Bill?
Hey, Billy.
You know, it's interesting. Hey, I used to be in the events industry, and about 10 years ago, we launched a fantasy football festival. And in doing so, I had the honor of having dinner with your cohort, Kiki Barber.
Nice.
And Kiki said at that time, this was 10 years ago, that fantasy football was changing fandom in sports. And he cited instances where he'd be traveling around the country, he'd get stopped in airports, and people would run up to him and thank him and say what a big fan they were. Not because he was a New York Giant, but because he won their fantasy league.
Yeah.
So I couldn't agree more with you. I couldn't agree more with what you guys are saying, that fandom's changed. I mean, I'm a Giant fan. I'm fortunate that I've rubbed it on hard on my kids, but, you know, I see it all the time. Kids wearing jerseys of, you know, teams all over the country.
I didn't have one jersey, I think. Bill, not a single jersey, thanks for the call, buddy, of an opposing player my entire life. I still don't. I mean, I'm not a jersey as an adult. I had Jordan gear, Jordan sweatsuits, Jordan sneakers, like everybody, Jordan shorts back in the day. I didn't have another team's jersey. That's it.
I was always a jersey guy, so I had a lot of, especially basketball. Even though I was a diehard Knicks fan, I had a lot of different basketball jerseys. The fantasy element, which is why I had to stop. I only do one league, and I just do it now just because I've been in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, a camaraderie thing, or you talk a little trash. I really don't care that much about it. You want to win, of course, but watching fantasy and gambling skews the way you watch a game. Not only the stuff that you're talking about, BT, with the stress and the anxiety and the aggravation,
mm-hmm.
but obviously those are givens if you do that, but also the way you watch it, where you're not watching the game, you're rooting for specific things to happen.
Correct.
Oh, I don't care that this happened in the game as long as it made my bet win.
Yeah.
Or as long as this guy catches three passes and scores a touchdown, whatever it may be, I'm good to go. Oh, yeah, the team sucked, but this guy caught five passes for 120 yards and two touchdowns. I'm good to go. It ruins the way you watch football
you
games.
Don't. Listen, even if you bet basketball, which I think is an, I don't want to say easy because nothing's easy, but an easier type of bet. Like, I think if you really dial in, whether it's college hoops or the NBA over-under, stuff like that. You know, teams, three games and six nights. I know they change the schedule, so it's not quite as arduous, but the travel. You can get a team with heavy legs, with a indifference toward playing defense, and you bang the over. I actually think you can make money in the NBA. It's my own person, and I have. But I think that when you watch it and when you do it, and I'm not talking about the Knicks, when you bet other games, you're not even, you're just looking at the score and the time.
Right.
That is a constant darting of the eyes. Score time, score time, score time, score time. And that's a paralyzing way to watch sports.
Yes,
and
it
I got
is.
I quite frankly got tired of it. I got tired of it.
I think it wore me down too.
Well, that's why I adjusted some stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. And now I did adjust, but for me, I've had, like I told you, I had a problem. I don't think I can.
You said that.
I just don't have that discipline when it comes to gambling. I haven't had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it just fun where it can't do any harm. All right, you bet $25 on a game. But then for me, it's like, well, what the hell am I wasting my time for $25?
You want to win, I know.
But it isn't going to even give me the enjoyment that I would want from the actual bet. But I want to just get back to watching the game in its most pure form, which I did last year midway through the postseason, and I actually enjoyed it.
I know we got a break, think about the rush though, right? So say if you're down on the day and you're just down on the deal, yeah. You know, you lost money,
yeah.
And you know, kids are around, wives, yeah. Are, you lost some money, rough day, bottom line, we've all had it. And the next, whether it's Sunday night or the 4:25 games are coming up, and it's recovery time, right? As soon as you hit enter, even though you're likely going to lose based on the odds of gambling,
the rush.
Don't you just feel a little invigorated? Like, all right.
Here we go.
I got 3-4 more hours to
action.
Get it back.
Yeah, I love
the sweat, the action. That's why when I play cards, and I've learned this about myself, when I go to AC, which has been, it's been a little bit, I play two hands. I play two hands when I play blackjack. That's why I don't love roulette, too slow. I don't, but craps, it's just, I don't know what the hell's going on. But I've got to play a fast game, and if you could do side bets, I'll do side bets, because that's the way my mind works. And if you're not careful, you could get in trouble.
Yeah.
You could.
The action, though. And there will be action tonight and tomorrow and all day Sunday and again Monday and then Thursday. Tis the season.
Talk New York sports.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Got it back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Number to call. We'll get back to your calls here. Talking some Yankees. Obviously, you want to work in the NFL with opening night, opening kickoff tonight. And we've touched on the Mets a little bit. I was thinking about this, BT, before we get back to the calls. Maybe the Yankees' biggest mistake, letting Mendy go. I mean, we've talked about the lack of accountability, whether it's organizationally, whether it's Aaron Boone. Carlos Mendoza, as a matter of fact, has been the exact opposite. Not just the Mets organization, but Mendy, if he's got a problem with the player, he'll say it. He'll say it to the media. He's been tremendous in year one handling the media. He was a Yankee. One of the reasons why I didn't want him to begin with. But the Yankees let him go. I don't even think it's close. I'm not trying to knock Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
Carlos Mendoza has not only been one of the better managers in the sport, he clearly is a better manager than Aaron Boone, the guy that let the Yankees, they kept Boone and let Mendy go.
I like Mendoza. It's early. I definitely like it, but I think they hired the right guy. I'm not going to go nuts here.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, he's better than Boone.
Based on what?
Based on the results, based on the way he handles the media, based on the way he holds guys accountable. Hey, Carlos Mendoza could not. The fact that he's
handled. Two of the three things you gave me are not tangible.
What do you mean?
Well, the media.
Right.
That's an opinion.
Well, the way he handles the media.
The way he handles the media is an opinion.
And hold players accountable.
Yeah, and that's an opinion as well.
No, those are facts.
Look, the facts are the record. That's the fact.
Okay.
And who's got a better record?
Since June 1st, it's not even close.
I don't want to start mocking Mendy. I like him.
Okay.
Just saying it's...
Oh, who do you think's got a more talented team?
I think in certain spots, the Yankees. I think in certain spots, the Mets.
What do you think? Which team do you think plays better baseball?
Right now, the Mets.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close.
Okay, but what about them playing worse baseball?
What's their record
head-to-head? Mendy was worse than Boone?
What's their record head-to-head?
I know, 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0.
See, how about next to the Seaver statue?
Yeah.
You start the Bronson, the Mendy statue.
They might. The Yankees had Mendoza. First of all, they could have hired him.
They could have.
Matter of fact, David Stern said the other day that they were fortunate to get Mendy, and a lot of teams, really, Mendy should have been hired sooner. But for whatever reason, he wasn't hired sooner. And that's on everybody, including the Yankees, who had him right under their nose.
I do like him. This is not to knock Mendoza. Nothing to knock. I mean, they came back from the dead. He runs a tight ship. They play hard. I mentioned the Bader play last night, a 4-3 game in the eighth inning, preventing that ball from going to the wall, which maybe saved the Mets the game before they pulled away. I like him. There's nothing else to add. It's year one, though. I would add that.
Fair enough. I'm not knocking. Yeah, but it's year one. He's dealt with the suspension of his player. He's dealt with an 0-5 start. He's dealt with a team that's been 11 games under 500.
Uh-huh.
A team that everybody left for dead. It's also year one rookie manager in New York.
I get
LOL
it.
Mets.
He's
all
impressive.
That. Oh, my God. And the fact that the Yankees had him and let him get away, I don't think that could be a big blunder move. I'm trying to knock Boone. But Mendy's been better. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Anthony's calling from Harrisburg. What's up, Ant?
Gentlemen, happy Thursday to you. And I want to say, Sal, I'm happy to hear your wife's doing better, even though you abandoned her to go play golf and Saratoga. So congratulations on that. But
it was and Saratoga, not just golf.
That's right, and Saratoga. Yeah. Just a couple things I want to touch on the Yanks here, if you don't mind, guys. Yesterday afternoon, correct me if I'm wrong, the Baltimore Orioles played the Chicago White Sox
and
lost in the afternoon.
Yep.
So the Yankees knew going into that game they should have a sense of urgency to try to put this one away because they'll get that half-game lead in first place. I know it's only half-game, but hey, we're 23 games left in the season.
Yep.
Where's the sense of urgency? Now, I'm not saying that Jason Dominguez would be the spark that will light the fire and the flame that will send the Yankees to the postseason winning World Series. But let me give you a couple of sparks in the past for historical significance here. El Duque Hernandez, Shane Spencer. These are sparks that turn teams around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get Dominguez in there. Change the culture. Change the attitude. Change the look. Change something, right?
Yes. I don't know if they're going to do it. It seems so obvious, painfully obvious to all of us. I don't understand the reticence here. If Verdugo was a Yankee for like 6 or 7 years, he had a little more equity here. I can understand maybe you ride him a little bit longer, but I mean, come on.
This has been their MO. And thank you for the call, Anthony. Very good call. This has been their MO. This is with IKF years ago.
Yeah.
Where we all said he's not a shortstop. Mm-hmm. And they kept saying the defensive metrics, he's as good a shortstop as anybody. And then in the postseason, they moved him off a shortstop.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, when I don't freak out about Dominguez, who, by the way, has played 9 big league games, and we're all looking at him as next Mickey Mantle, which he might be. He might not be. I mean, he's played 9 games. He can't be the solution. But I know the reason why I didn't freak out is because I know the Yankees will eventually make the move. They're just going to do it at their leisure, which will probably be, you know, before game one of the postseason. Clay Holmes, the Yankees can't be dumb enough to think Clay Holmes could start games. I've been saying that for months. They can't be dumb enough to keep riding out DJ LeMayo. I've been saying that for months. Can't be dumb enough to not, you know, go with Dominguez instead of Verdugo. If Verdugo keeps going like this, saying that for months. But yet here we are with 22 games left. They still haven't made any of those changes. They're going to wait until the last minute and then maybe hope that that provides a jolt going into October.
See, but here's the problem with that. If you wait for the last minute, just forget about Holmes for a sec. I do think that's going to be rectified starting Friday. Off tonight. Next time they have a lead. I think that the adjustments will... I don't know if the adjustments will work.
Right.
But I do believe that they'll recalibrate that. I don't know when they're calling up Dominguez. But if you wait too long and he goes 0-for-4 like he did when they called him up for the Little League Williamsport game when they expanded
the
rosters.
That's the one game he played this year, yeah.
Give the young man a little time to, you know, get a couple of hits under his belt. Because if you wait till the final week of the season, now the pressure's amplified. And now, if he starts 1-for-9... They might, not us, we'd still run them out. They might feel compelled to sit them.
I don't think the Yankees know what they're doing. I mean, maybe it just simplifies to that. I don't think they know what they're doing. Because their logic is that, well, they don't want to lose Verdugo, right? They're going to ride that out, a player that they believed in. But, okay, that's fine. But why wasn't then Dominguez up here earlier? There were other opportunities to work him in without just destroying somebody else.
I know.
And it also doesn't have to be about destroying somebody else. Verdugo's had plenty of opportunity here.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the course of the season. He's been struggling for months. This isn't just a new thing where it's like, ah, he'll kick it back in a gear in a couple of weeks. They've had opportunities to make some changes. Even Volpe, give him a day. Or get rid of LeMay. Like, they've had opportunity. They haven't done anything with it.
Well, let's face it, too. Yeah, I mentioned before, he has no equity here, so it's even more frustrating because they keep running him out here. But it's not like they just, say if he signed a three-year deal, okay? And it was year one, and he was languishing for months like he has been.
Yeah.
I could understand, to be fair to the Yankees, internally them saying amongst themselves, oh, we got two more years of this. We got to ride this to the end, and kind of like with Hicks, and see where we are. He's not even going to be on the team next year, Verdugo.
Right. So what's the...
I don't know.
I mean, I think they might be a little worried, and rightfully so, about what Dominguez is. What if Dominguez comes up and he can't hit for 2 weeks? Then what?
Well, you know, he could still run. He could still help you.
Yeah. Mario is in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good show, as always.
Thank you,
brother. What's happening?
Yeah. I have a point about the Yankees and then a point about Volpe. Now, the Yankees, I see this a little bit differently, because I think what's going to really matter is how you're playing at the end of the year. And a lot of the things you're saying is true. And I think he learned the lesson when that grand slam homer was hit off their relief pitcher. I believe now he's going to go by committee. He's not going to go to the guy anymore.
Holmes, right.
So
okay.
I believe he learned his lesson. I believe he learned his lesson there.
Me too.
Now, let's look at, we got Lewis. How do you pronounce his last name? I keep on butchering
Heel.
It all the time.
Heel. Yep.
Heel. Lewis Heel coming off the injured list. We got also Schmidt coming off, who had a below 3 ERA, was close to an all-star.
Yeah, he's pitching Saturday. He's pitching Saturday. Keep going.
We got Ian Hamilton coming off the list, too, who's a decent pitcher. And they might mix and match him. Mm-hmm. And also, the last 10 games, nobody's really looking at this, but Soto and Judge have been in a slump.
Oh, big time.
The last 10 games, too.
And yeah, but that's the reason why nobody's looking at that is because that's not the biggest problem. Those guys will be fine. I mean, if they're not, the Yankees have no shot. They've got problems around that. This has been going on for 3 months. Judge and Soto were playing at their peak level over the course of those 3 months, and yet the Yankees still are under 500. How's that possible?
Yeah, it's the pitching. The pitching, the relief pitching has been terrible.
Well, both
some of the hitting, too.
The starting pitching, and thank you for the call, Mario. He touched on it, too, BT. One of the reasons why the Yankees came out of the gate hot, I know everybody looks to Soto and Judge going nuts. Well, more specifically, Soto, because at that point, Judge was not in April, right? He didn't do anything. So it was Soto, it was Volpe, you know, Verdugo.
Cabrera.
Yeah, Cabrera was contributing. That's how the Yankees were doing it offensively. But the reality was the pitching, the starting pitching.
It was awesome.
Was terrific.
They set a record. Fewest runs, consecutive starts. They set a major league record.
I don't remember the record.
But
night in, night out,
yep.
Without Garrett Cole, Luis Heel, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt before he got hurt.
Schmidt was great.
They were going out there. Maybe Cortez was the only shaky one, and then the bats would pick him up on that given night. But that's where the Yankees got fat in April and May. And the start. So the lineup has been inconsistent pretty much throughout. I remember referencing this when we went to opening day at the stadium.
Yep.
That was the first day. It was the first day back after a red-hot road trip. And we're all like, oh, my God, these guys are savages in the box. The Soto effect, this is real. Look at the way they worked the count. Then they got blanked by the Blue Jays on opening day. It was like a lifeless feel. I'm like, something's not right here. And you could see signs, even when they were having success in April and May, that the lineup wasn't right. But the pitching was the key. And now that's, for the last 3 months has been a problem, even with getting Garrett Cole back. I mean, that's an issue with this Yankee team.
Now time for Game Time without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, here we go. A little baseball card pack opening before we get back to the calls here. You get two options.
Okay.
1988 score.
Ooh.
Or 1990 Fleer.
Let's go 90, I'll go 88.
88 okay.
Score.
I'm going to do that.
It was a very good year.
From the Sopranos thing.
Not for the Mets that year. It wasn't very good.
All right, here we
Dodgers.
Go.
Yep.
Kevin McReynolds.
What year?
1988 score.
Mets.
88. Yes, right off the bat. It's a nice card, actually.
Let me see.
Oh, I put it down. Remember, Score had these different colors.
I don't know that it doesn't look incredibly familiar. Okay, yeah, that's a cool look, though.
I think this is the first year of Score, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, Lee Smith.
Lee Smith, and it was still on the Cubs in 1988.
Yes, two for two. By the way, this is a thick pack. Like, I've got 20 cards. I'm going to have to cut this down. R.J. Reynolds.
Pirates.
Boom. Heater, BT.
Little outfielder, if I'm not mistaken. Lefty hitter, R.J.
Yeah, lefty hitter. I think it was, you're right, outfielder. Yeah, I was going to say middle infielder. You're right. Mike Heath.
Mike Heath was a catcher.
Correct.
A's? He was on the A's at some point, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He was
a long time A, but he is a Tiger here.
Ah, 3 for 4.
Tim Laudner.
Tim, how do you
remember the name. L-A-U-D-N-E-R? Yes.
I've got a few. White Sox? I'm not going to waste time on this. I don't think that that's right. Chicago.
He is Tim Twins. Tim, like, he was a catcher for the Twins. Jim Sundberg. Some familiar names here. Jim Sundberg.
Yeah, he was a catcher as well.
Yes.
Rangers. Now he moved on at that point?
Cubs. Yeah, look at you, dude. He's right in the wheelhouse of your earlier years.
I remember. Right stick. He used to wear his, I believe he used to wear his stirrups really high. That was Don Slott. Either way, I remember Jim Sundberg well.
The thing I remember about him is I always thought in the video game, I want to say it was RBI Baseball, but there might have been another game where, it might have been RBI Baseball, where I saw Sundberg and I was like, no, it's Sandberg. Like, it's spelled it wrong. Ooh, here's one. Ken Phelps.
Kenny Phelps.
88 score.
88. This was... Ken Phelps. Lefty.
I mean, obviously you know who Ken Phelps
is. It's either Seattle or the Yankees or a team after the... Or glasses, lefty hitter.
88. High socks. That gives you the...
I don't think it was Seattle. Was Kenny Phelps like in the mid-80s with like vintage Mattingly or more towards Stump Merrill? I feel like Ken Phelps was earlier. I'm going to say not Yankees. I'm going to start with that. Not Yankees. Right or wrong?
Correct.
Okay. Not a Mariner because he came from Seattle to the Yankees. So it's not Seattle and it's not the Yankees. Right or wrong?
I need your answer.
Well, I know, but can you help me get through the process?
I can't because...
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say he went back to Seattle.
He was on Seattle. I mean, you give you that one. My goodness. I can't give you the whole thing. not the Yankees, not Seattle. Well, if I don't say he's not Seattle, and if I do say...
All right. 4 for 7.
By the way, they give one of these little...
checklists? Oh, let me see.
Yeah, well, that's a good one because that's a Yankee thing. They give one of those little, like, what do you call that?
It's one of the things where to describe it is like where you turn it one way and you see one visual.
Yeah.
Then you kind of turn it the other, you see a difference. It's like a 3D.
Yeah, a small little square card. Whatever. That it reads one thing and then you turn another way. But it's great moments.
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium. What happened?
Reggie, 3 in a row.
Right, there you go.
Okay.
All right, Bob Forsch.
Bob Forsch was a pitcher.
Correct.
There was also Ken Forsch.
No, this is Bob. He's a pitcher, so you're right.
Just going through the process, buddy. Boy, you're feisty
today. You want to start ruling out some of the teams?
No, it's either Astros or the Cardinals. I'm going to say Cardinals.
Good call.
Let's go, baby.
One of those teams, correct.
Yeah,
this is a cool pack, guy.
I mean,
this is a good pack because a lot of the names that we're seeing, if not all of them so far, are familiar. All right, let's buzz through them here.
5 for 8, go.
Len Dykstra.
Lenny Dykstra, 88, was on the Mets.
Correct. Healthy Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, pre-steroids.
Shane Rawley. He's a mess now.
Shane Rawley was a lefty pitcher.
Correct.
Shane Rawley at this point, I think, was on the Yankees.
88.
Or Seattle. Seattle. I'm sticking with the Yankees.
Okay, he was a Philly in this picture. He was before that. Before he got to the Yankees, he was a Mariner, then a Yankee.
Yeah, all right.
He
was with the Phillies.
See, I don't remember. That shows the age gap. I love when we do this.
Right. 6 for 10.
Ken Griffey.
Ken Griffey Sr.?
Correct. Original. OG Ken Griffey.
OG.
88 tops. Excuse me, 88 score.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Seattle. No. It was Yankees earlier, so it wasn't that. It was Reds early. Did he go back to the Reds for a minute? I'm honestly not 100% sure. I know it wasn't the Yankees in 88. That was more like 82, 83, 84. Yeah. I don't think it was Seattle. I think that was the next year with his son. Reds? Did he go back to the Reds?
Final answer?
Yeah.
Braves.
Ah!
Yeah, you should have got that one. Bill Long.
Don't know. Giants.
Pitcher, White Sox.
All right.
Sean Dunstan.
Cubbies.
Yeah.
From Brooklyn. Stand up. Cadets.
88.
First overall pick, I think.
Now, this is one I never heard
7 for 13.
Wally Ritchie.
Wally Ritchie.
Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Me neither.
Heard of Wally Backman and Guy Ritchie.
Not Wally Joyner.
No, not Wally Joyner.
Wally Ritchie.
I would say the A's going out west.
Phillies.
Yeah, I don't know him at all. Never 7 heard for 14.
Of him. Nolan Ryan.
Nolan in 88. Let's see. He was with the Astros in 86 in the Mets series. 88. Did he jump to the Rangers at that point? Rangers. I got it wrong.
Astros. That's a frustrating one.
It was.
Two good names to finish up here. Harold Baines.
Harold Baines in 88 was, he came up in like 79. Now, it's either White Sox or A's.
Mm-hmm.
So 80, 81, 83, definitely the White Sox, La Russa, 84, 85. I feel like at this point, he was kind of, let's say White Sox.
Yes.
One more, yeah,
yes,
White Sox. Call. 8 for 16.
Last one, this is a fun baseball name. Tom Candiotti.
Pitcher, Dodgers.
Ooh.
The Candyman, I get it.
Ooh, no.
Ooh, Indians?
Cleveland, yeah. Knuckleballer, Tom Candiotti.
Yeah, he was the Candyman.
That's
fun, good pack.
That's a good pack. Score, you know what? Score has maybe less scrubs in it than some of the tops.
Maybe that's what they did. Maybe that was their marketing plan. Hey, no scrubs, buy scores. That was their tagline.
On the Fan, 888-808-1019. Chris is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Chris!
How's it going, guys? Always enjoy listening to you guys roll through those cards.
Ooh. Thanks, man.
Trip down memory lane. Listen, I've got the word for the Yankees. Oblivious. They're oblivious. And I think the best proof of that was what Marcus Stroman said after the game. And it just shows you that these guys just are not getting the feedback and not getting the criticism from management or from each other.
Why don't you encapsulate what he said for those who don't know?
It was really fast. Basically, they asked him about the slide that they're on, and they said, "Are you concerned?" He said, "Like, no, we're not concerned. We all go through a process. We're all about the process." And then he said, "I quote," he said, "a few bad games doesn't move the room."
Mm.
I mean, they sound lost. They sound like nobody is getting in their face to saying that they're doing things wrong. They're just completely in the woods. They think that they're doing everything right. They think the process is going to save them. And it's not, because the process is broken. And when people come out and say that, hey, listen, we're doing everything fine, it's just a few bad losses. It's like, no, it's not a few bad losses. You're 40 and 41 in 81 games.
Right. That's half a season.
Yeah. You've lost series to the Nationals, to the Tigers, now to the Rangers in a bad year.
Yeah, the Reds, you get swept by the Reds along the way.
Swept by the Reds, lost to the White Sox. I mean, how many more bad games before it moves the room, Marcus?
That's a good point.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't take what Stroman says seriously, and thanks for the call, Chris. Same thing. Oh, his mechanics were off last night. Hey, how about we need a big start here? Can you go out and compete for us? And he gets lit up, takes the Yankees right out of the game. It's one thing or another with this team every single night. If Stroman gives you a good start, then the bullpen blows it, or the offense doesn't come through in timely fashion.
Yeah.
If Stroman gets lit up, then you don't have any chance. And then, you know, the offense will come back late, but it wasn't enough because the bullpen couldn't hold it. Like, it's one thing or another with this team, but excuse me, they've been bad for now 81 games. Bad. They've been 500 for 81 games. 40 and 41, that's half a season since June 1st. That's not just a few games.
Yeah, no, it's really more the pattern of their season. It's not just a little downturn.
Right.
It's kind of becoming emblematic of what this team is or who they are. I want to read something real quick. You ready?
Yeah.
Loss, 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 win. Loss, 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 win, win. Loss, 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 loss.
Hmm.
Do you have any sense of what that might be?
No.
Okay. That's how the 2000 Yankees finished up the season before they beat the Mets in the World Series.
Wow.
The difference is that Yankee team had pedigree.
Yeah, right.
So,
they were champions.
So, you know, to blindly sit here and say, well, they'll figure it out is nuts, because this team's done nothing as a unit.
Also, that's only, what, a month you went through right there?
Well, no. From September 17th.
Yeah, okay. So half.
September 14th.
Okay, half the month.
Yeah. So another 9 days from now. They were 84 and 59, and then over the final, I guess that equates to roughly 20 games-ish, they won three times.
All right, 84 and 59, and they had that bad stretch.
Yeah.
This Yankee team has been under 500 for the last 81 games.
Oh, yeah. And that team in 2000.
Right, they were champions.
Like, no, they were back-to-back champions.
Yeah, right. I mean,
it's just totally different energy.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. Reset hit you with the crown topic of the day. 888-808-1019. Get to your calls as well. The Yankees and their lack of accountability, maybe lack of desire at times. That's the topic.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.